Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm Liana Boris, and today we are going to be talking about the latest season of 90 Day Fiancé. But before we get into the wonderful mess of a season this was, let me bring in my co-host, a man, I guess you represent the international voice on this podcast, now that I think about it, Pooya Zanvakili. Pooya, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. That is me, the international man of not so much mystery. This has been a absolute S show of a season, and I cannot wait to get into everything 90 Day Fiasco.
Well, I'm happy that the 90 Day Fiancé editors were able to bleep you, because they obviously missed a couple at the end of the tell-all, which we will talk about. So just to give everybody an idea, for our format, we're going to go couple by couple, which we're going to include some of the social media stuff that's been going on outside of the show. And then obviously, needless to say, there's going to be spoilers. So, but I don't even know. What even spoilers would there be for 90 Day Fiancé?
Right. Given the way this show is formatted, there's stuff that happens on the show. And then being in the internet age, there's a lot of stuff that happens off the show that are going to be spoken about, too. We're going to try our best to kind of, you know, keep that isolated. But then some stuff links too well to not bring up. So this is going to be a little bit of a hodgepodge. But ultimately, as Liana said, we're going to go couple by couple. We're going to talk about them all. Then we're going to get to the end. We're going to talk a little bit about the tell-all and answer some questions that have been sent in to us. And ultimately, we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Is that a requirement? Like, if you're going to sit through 90 Day Fiancé, you must have fun. I mean, the only way to get through it is to make fun of these people. I feel like it's the only way for me to keep my sanity as we go through this process.
Yeah, I feel like everyone who watches it either hate watches it or watches it just to crap on people. And it's very easy to do given what we're watching. So okay, it's just an ultimate good time.
But like, no one should feel bad for watching the show. So I will say that, you know, my family doesn't really understand the whole podcasting thing. And I talk about, you know, I watched Survivor and Big Brother and I got to talk about them. And then RuPaul's Drag Race is, you know, kind of like the fun one that they give me a pass for. I obviously will not tell them anything about 90 Day Fiancé because I can't justify it as, there's strategy, you know, because my family, they're intellectual and they're like, but okay, but like, why? I'd be like, okay, but boo-hole, you guys slap people. This is important.
Yeah, this is too low of a show for them, and I completely understand why you would keep it away. I would keep it away from my parents just because the idea of explaining the premise of this show would just be such a headache for myself to even bother. It's better to keep it a secret, but a well-kept one.
It's awesome, though. I love the show.
It's so good.
Okay. So actually, that's funny that you bring it up, the description of the show, because I was looking on the Wikipedia article for 90 Day Fiancé, and the show is described as an American documentary series, which I thought was a complete insult to all other documentaries, but I guess technically it is a documentary, but it's a reality show documentary. I don't know where the line is, but anyway, so it airs on TLC, and it follows couples who have applied for or who have received the K-1 visa, which is this visa that's available to foreign fiancés of American citizens, or I think permanent residents, but I'm not sure. And then anyway, they have 90 days to decide if they want to marry. So that's how Wikipedia describes the show. Pooya, how would you describe the show? I know you said you can't, but maybe you could.
Well, I mean, right off the bat, I have to disagree with the documentary. If anything, it's more of a mockumentary that's real, right? So because it's just, it's almost like a spoof on documentaries, honestly. And, but it does check out. The premise is true. They do get this fiance visa, and then they get the opportunity to decide whether they're going to marry their significant other or not, which, by the way, I feel like that part is a little bit interesting to me, because once you make the trek to the States and you've gone through the process, gotta imagine you're gonna do it, right?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. So I looked into the process because I was curious, okay, how does this whole K-1 visa thing work? Mm-hmm. And it's a lot. You file this initial paperwork to the immigration services, and then you have to go through the visa center, and it seems like a lot of work to then decide if you're gonna, like, wouldn't you decide to marry them beforehand? But I don't know, maybe that's neither here nor there.
Right. I mean, like, when I planned to move to Canada, the application to get the visa was only 2 months, and I was gonna go if I got it no matter what. So I feel like to go through that tiring process and then be like, I don't know, but maybe going to Baraboo, Wisconsin will be a fun vacation at the very least, so it won't hurt me to try. Like, I Yeah.
Well, maybe if you were to marry Eric, you might think differently. Okay. Well, let's not get into that's enough general stuff. Let's just dig into everything because I'm so excited to talk about all of these terrible couples.
Okay. Before we proceed, can I make a offering of how to scale them? So I feel like when, you know, Jordan and Haley did this, shout out to you two, they did it on they followed it through from the most normal to the most crazy. I would like to propose our own scale. And I think it should be on a scale of Danny and Amy of season two, you know, guy who kind of looked like Jay Cutler and his South African beauty. They, I would argue, might be the happiest couple of them all of this series. So on a scale of them to Muhammad and Danielle, where is my sex? Where is he getting his sex? On a scale of great to awful, that's our scale. Do you agree with this?
Okay, I co-signed the classifications of the couples that you talked about, but I just want to say in general, I feel like this season had more dysfunctional, maybe is the right word, couples compared to previous seasons. Like, I think everyone from season three, like, is still married, but here we have, first of all, we've Olga and Steven, who I think she just got her visa. Like, she didn't have her visa while the show was airing. And then we have some maybe potential splits later. I don't know. These people just seemed way more soap opera-y than in previous seasons. This felt more like Before the 90 Days than 90 Day.
Yeah, no, I co-signed that. And I think maybe truly thinking about it, we're not going to find a Danny and Amy in this bunch. So how about we just say on a scale of one to Muhammad and Danielle? Because I feel like that will touch on more than Danny and Amy.
I don't know. They're all pretty bad. Okay. Well, let's just get into this. Let's talk about our first couple, Asuelu and Kalani. All right. So, Puya, what were your thoughts on them throughout the season?
Okay. So, to set them up, Asuelu and Kalani, Asuelu's from Samoa, how we have learned that. And she meets him while she's there. He's the tour guide, so to speak, at the resort she's at. And they meet there. And, you know, they make love, as one does. Apparently, he takes her virginity, and now she's pregnant. And she's having this baby, and she had the baby, I guess, spoiler alert. And he makes his way to the States. I love Asuelu. Asuelu is amazing. I honestly fell in love with him from the second we saw him dancing at that airport. He was so great.
Yeah.
What do you think of him?
Yeah, so definitely first impressions, I was like, oh, you know, I like Kalani, but Asuelu, I thought was really adorable. I thought they were both over their heads. Oh my gosh, new baby, what are they doing? But I was really rooting for them in the beginning. Now it's just like going through watching the whole season with them, Kalani just felt like somebody who stirred up her own drama and her whole thing with calling. So Oliver is their kid, but she kept calling it my baby. Like, it's my baby, not their baby. And I thought that was really uncomfortable. Asuelu was really adorable to watch, but definitely very much a man child. And like, there was the one type when he had ice cream on his upper lip, and it's like, oh man, how does this guy get you pregnant twice?
Twice, because condoms are for slut people, Liana, and he does not believe in the art of the condom.
Oh my god, that reminds me of when I think it was okay. So Asuelu and Kalani end up moving to Utah to live in their parents, like her parents' other house or something like that. And I guess her brother Nick lives there too. My favorite part is when he gave them a condom, kind of as this joke gift of like, oh, you should use a condom, and then she got pregnant again. It's like, oh, clearly they didn't use that gift.
Definitely the gift went unused. Okay, and while you bring up Nick, I gotta say, I think out of all the couples, Kalani's family is by far the strangest of them all. They all felt like, no, not in a strange, like they're weird way. They just all kind of seemed a little scripted. Like, I feel like this was a show, like, they were cast to do a show, and, cause, like, Kalani, the sister, kind of is giving me this, like, over-dramatic Kardashian type of vibe. The dad, who's, like, keeps saying stuff like, if you hurt my daughter, I will end you, kind of Godfather type nonsense. And then Nick was, like, the most poorly made person, kind of looked like he should be running a vape shop somewhere, which I'm not fully unconvinced that that's not what he does. I just feel like this whole family was just pandering to the camera if you will.
They give me Kardashian vibes. Kalani and Kalani definitely remind me of the Kardashians. I think both in look and then also just in the general attitude and the way that they carry themselves. So I can totally see that. But I don't know. Nick seemed like he was there to have a good time. So good of a time. In fact, I think he forgot to dress up for her wedding, like for Asuela and Kalani's wedding. He just like showed up on the boat chilling, probably just got off his shift from the vape shop, I guess. The mom seemed really sweet, though.
Oh, the mom was the best. I felt for the mom. Anytime she went through emotions, I felt them too. Because I feel like she was the one person who knew everything that was going on from all sides. From the dad, the sister, Kalani, Asuelu. And she has to harbor all these secrets because they're not trying to let each other know all these things. Like when Kalani's pregnant again for the second time and takes her mom out to this park to tell her. And now she has to harbor the secret when she goes back to Godfather Dad. Like, what's that all about? I felt for her. I really did.
Okay, that just reminds me of this idea that nothing good in the show ever happens at a park bench or at a picnic table. Always bad things happen there. I don't know. I guess I do. I do have empathy for the mom. But I want to talk about quickly Kalani being the dad.
Oh my God. Go ahead.
I just don't understand. Like, you feel like you've claimed over this. I don't know. It's a really complicated emotional situation, but I just love that she claimed that she was the dad and providing for them. You know, and that, like, oh my God. And then the fact that she would go ahead and cry when her sister tells her that she's pregnant. Yeah. And Kalani tells her she's pregnant. That is, if my sister reacted that way, oh man, that would be rough.
Could you imagine you telling your sister I'm pregnant and then 5 minutes later having to apologize for being pregnant to your sister? What kind of twisted world is that?
I don't know. It was definitely like a soap opera. I loved that scene, though, because it was so strange. So they're at her they're at Kalani's bachelorette party, and she is this unmarried, like, previous virgin who's wearing this necklace of penises telling her sister she's pregnant with, you know, a second child. And then her sister starts crying and then, like, starts bitching in the bathroom to her friends, which I thought was also lovely. It was definitely like a tell-all or like a soap opera.
Yeah, definitely. Nothing screams drama like penis necklace. God, definitely in that situation.
It's just crazy to think that they're probably the most normal, like, relatively normal couple. Right.
Yeah, especially like going through the ringer and coming back and looking at them. I think they're probably the most normal, and they're the ones that have two babies, no steady income, living in a house with Vape Shop Nick in Utah, and hiding all these secrets from each other and dealing with a lot of drama. But on the plus side, Asuelu learned how to ride a bike. So that's awesome.
That's right. His boo hole hurt, though.
Yeah. The boo hole did take a little bit of a... I can't say that. He learned. He fell down, he got up, and he learned how to ride a bike. Also, another thing that we haven't talked about yet. So speaking of boo hole and slut people, Asuelu describing himself as sexy moves might be my favorite self-given nickname ever.
Yeah, that's why she got pregnant again, because Asuelu has the sexy moves. Which, again, this man-child describing himself as sexy moves. It just, there's a, maybe that's what it is, that there's something in my mind that is incoherent between this idea that he is this man-child and then also sexy moves, pregnant twice. It's just slut people. There's something that just doesn't seem to align with those two personality traits that he seems to have. And maybe that's why I'm confused.
Yeah, he's very, for someone who seems very childish, he's very complex to kind of try and decipher.
And to get, not to like get into all of the tell-all stuff, but he got all the jokes and he was cursing up a storm. Not that you have to be an adult to be able to curse, right? It was sort of a little bit like, oh, this is the five-year-old who said a curse word, and so everybody's laughing because like, it's wrong, but it's funny because it's a five-year-old who's cursing, was a little bit of the feeling of it. But he got all the jokes and sexual innuendos, so, you know, he's got command of the language.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that, well, it's one of those syndromes, right, where it's like, if we were watching him speak in his native language, he would sound like how the rest would speak in English. But because he's using it as a second language and his dialect, it kind of comes off very like innocent, you know, little boy almost. But he definitely knew what he was saying, and he was definitely putting them together beautifully. It's just, he has been magnificent to watch top to bottom for me. And the one clip that, you know, TLC does this thing with 90 Day where when they like a scene, they'll play the living hell out of it. So that scene where they're in the car and he takes the baby out of the baby seat and Cheeto fingers on Kalani and Kalani's freaking out on him. And just how emotional he was in that other scene where he talks about wanting to cuddle with her and he started crying. I felt to that. I almost cried. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Aw, I cried at the Cheetos fingers. I was like, not the Cheetos. Screw the baby. Save the Cheetos.
Save the Cheetos.
Plus, they were Cheetos Puffs. I don't know if you saw, which is my favorite type of Cheeto. So I was like, you should put the Cheetos in the baby seat. Protect the Cheetos Puffs. Okay.
Liana, so what does this say about you?
Yeah, I know. Priorities. Okay. So in terms of Oswaldo and Kalani, like, I'm actually really happy that they haven't been posting a whole lot on social media, because I'm sure we'll talk about this later. It's been a little bit of a drag with the season. So I don't have anything major to talk about with them in terms of stuff outside of the show.
Not really. The only other thing that really has come out is that Asuelu's hoping for the second child to be a girl because he wants to have a daughter to spoil.
Oh, that's so sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And another fun fact, Kalani was planning on surprising Asuelu with the first pregnancy. She wanted to wrap the pregnancy test as a gift and give it to him. But then Asuelu found it and completely ruined the surprise. So thank you, Asuelu, for ruining that moment.
Wait, where did he find it? Because didn't she get pregnant when she was in the United States?
I'm not sure how that unravels, but what I do know is that he found it and spoiled the surprise. I don't know if like they found out she was pregnant before she flew back. I don't know. I don't know what the logistics are there.
Okay, well, that definitely gives me a little bit of the, what's their name? John and Rachel. Didn't she, from before the 90 days, when she mailed him part of the baby's umbilical cord, which I swear to God, that baby is John. Okay, well, besides the point. Okay, anyway.
Oh, yeah, we'll save that for the 90 day conspiracy podcast.
Oh, my God. All right. So do you have anything else you want to say about them? Otherwise, let's move on to our next couple.
No, I think, to be honest, they might be on a scale of, you know, nice to batshit, for lack of a better word. They're probably closer to the Danny and Amy side. They're probably like the most normal, like you've mentioned already.
Yeah, they're probably the most, or yeah, like I believe, okay, if there's one couple that's going to stay together, I probably believe in them the most. I think part of that has to do with the fact that Kalani's family does seem to be very well off financially. And so I think, you know, they're not going to have to deal with some of the financial drama that other couples might have to. But also they have two kids together. I mean, not to say that, you know, you'll stay together because you have kids, but I believe in them the most if I had to pick a couple.
Yeah, I would co-sign that.
All right. So let's move on to a couple that I love half this couple and I hate the other half. Olga and Steven. So Steven met Olga while Olga was staying in the United States over the summer, and they dated for a few months. The couple got pregnant. Olga returned to Russia, which is where she's from, had the baby. And then Steven is going to go fly to Russia to see the son, be born and like spend time with them or whatever while they wait for the visa to be approved.
Yes. And just some notes that I think will come in important here. They're a young couple. I believe Steven's 20 and I think Olga's the same age as him. So they just turned 20. They're the youngest. Actually, they might not be the youngest couple together combined. They're the youngest couple, but this is important. Believe me, it matters.
Okay. Well, Olga is a sweetheart and Steven is awful. So he's sort of, okay, you know who he looks like? He sort of looks like Richie Rich cross with like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
I don't, it's something about this blonde hair with that little curl thing he does or something.
It's like if Macaulay Culkin grew up, had no fame, and was a complete and utter entitled douchebag.
Right. Like he couldn't afford the expensive drugs that Macaulay Culkin was on.
Right.
Yeah, but he, you know, still like not doing great. So Steven, I actually forgot about this because it's recency bias of everything that's happened throughout the season. But at the very beginning of the season when Steven was with his grandparents, I think.
Yeah.
Like thinking back to his grandparents, his grandma was real cute. Mm-hmm. I liked his grandma.
So was his grandpa. Like, did them driving him to the airport, and then once he left, they're like giving their opinions. I don't remember exactly what they said, but I remember them being a little skeptical, and I remember adoring them for it.
He's young, but he's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. I think my first impressions of them were definitely that. Okay, Steven seems like a bit of a hot mess. He's dumb, but it seems like he's really trying. Like, you know, because he was abandoned. Was he abandoned by his mother? And his dad died or something complicated like that?
Yeah, I think his dad passed away, and then he's been living with the grandparents for a long, long time. He's like estranged from his mom. I don't think they have any relationship. So for him, the thing he kept repeating was, it's important for me, for my son, to have a father figure. And it's important for me to be that father figure that I didn't have, which was a lot of endearing stuff. I appreciated, you know, the guy's clearly trying and he's buying the stuff and he's excited to take the stuff to Russia for Olga and for the baby. So that was great.
Yeah. And that lasted for like, what, one episode? And then Max. He goes to Russia and he's a total dick.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so Olga is, you know, 9 months pregnant at this point.
Yeah.
And she is, it's, you know, she's obviously struggling a lot and she's had to carry this baby all by herself. And she also seems like she doesn't have a lot of family. She's living by herself. She's going to school and she has to go in for the C-section. And mm-hmm. I just remember Steven complaining about the fact that he couldn't see her. It was all about him. That's the thing with Steven, is that with Steven, it's really all about him.
Yeah. No. That's all that matters. The world revolves around him. You know, Olga be damned for having this baby and having to go through a C-section, but they don't let me see my son. This would never fly in America. This is not fair. This is nonsense. It's like, man, she's happy you're in the country. You are still in the building. It's not like you dropped her off and then made rounds. Like, you're there. She knows you're there. That's all that matters. But Steven has to make it about Steven. Steven has to, like, it's almost like one of those things, you know, when there's an item and then two kids are running for it and someone licks it to be like, aha, it's mine now. I feel like he just wanted to touch the baby first and be like, I did it first. It was my baby. Like, I feel that way, and it's agitating, because that's when he started going away from being endearing to just being like a baby himself.
Well, I hope he washed his tongue before he licked the baby.
He washed it. He washed it. He already did that.
But you licked the dirty clothes. No, wait, that doesn't work. Yeah, Steven, oh my gosh. And I think the whole thing with Olga just having gone through a C-section, being in a lot of pain, having carried this baby, and Steven being all about respect. It's called respect, which was brought up at the tell-all, by the way, the tell-all with having Steven and then Olga on the TV, he seems like lovingly sitting next to the TV.
My favorite part of the tell-all was, we're joined here today by the couples and Steven.
Yeah, Steven was just there hanging out. He was somebody that they brought in to give commentary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the Andy Richter type character.
Yes. Yeah, the way he was hanging on the corner of the couch, kind of looking over at the guests and the host. Exactly.
Yeah, he's just chilling. He's just there to bring commentary and yell at Eric later. Yeah, it's called respect. Oh my gosh, that was brutal. I mean, Steven had a little bit of a redemption. I'm sure we'll talk about it later when talking about other people, but
yeah.
I will say, like, props to him too, though. So first of all, in a classic Steven dick move, didn't file the visa when he said he would, but clearly seems someone who is capable of understanding a situation, processing it, and then moving forward, having learned something, where I feel like some of these other people are not capable of that. I don't know if you'd agree.
I agree with that. I mean, he is a youngin. You know, he's still like in the early stages. You know, as he would call it, based on the tell-all, he's not an adult yet. He's a young adult. So he's learning. He's still dealing with things. But it's good to see that he understands where he went wrong and he's understanding the mistakes he made. But my God, did this guy make a lot of mistakes along the way? Like, you know, not since John Cena has anyone hung on the word respect as much as this guy, which is just crazy. His the mother of his child just gave birth and he's yelling at her. She's feeding the baby and he's like, no, baby's not eating. Dress. We're going to leave now. And just being abrasive and dickish, like Andy Dichter is what I would call this guy. He was just so agitating. I mean, obviously by the tell-all, I've cooled off on him, but now that we're rehashing this stuff, I'm getting irritated again.
Yeah.
Because he did lie to her, directly to her face, and then doesn't tell her about it until way, ways later. And he's like, but I did apply right before I got there, so that's a consolation. Not going to address the fact that for a good 2 months there, he's sitting in front of her and saying, it could take weeks, it could take one day, I don't know, just making stuff up. And my favorite Steven moment might have been when he met that weird looking lawyer.
Oh, the guy who looked like him. It looked like,
yeah,
his Russian twin. Mm-hmm. Again, rehashing all of this, we have omitted probably the worst thing that Steven did, which is wanting to take the baby with him back to America. So, you know, because what's their Richie, which is named after Steven's dad, which is funny because Olga just calls baby baby.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like someone should name their baby baby.
Oh, baby. Well, because she doesn't want to call it Richie. I don't know. Anyway, so Steven, which. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? And his whole logic is, well, I grew up without a dad, so I want my kid to have a dad. And I just wanted to scream at Steven, you know that by taking this baby away from its mother, it's not gonna mm-hmm. have a mother. But apparently, he seems really dumb. Really, yeah. Really dumb. I mean, he was the kid who didn't he not know what a social security number was?
Yeah, he had no idea what it was. Like, so just a little bit of backstory for his applications and stuff. So when Steven wants to get Richie his citizenship, he thought he would just have to show up at the embassy with his passport and that's all that was needed. And they're like, oh yeah, you're American? Cool. Richie, come here. Stamp. You're American too. No, that's not how it works. He had to get his documents express shipped from the States, which included his social security card, which we did see a scene on the show where he was like, I don't even know what this means. SSC. Like, what is that?
SSN.
SSN, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, Steven. He did. Oh, God, no, he's awful. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have hope. Okay. I hope because he was a little bit of abusive behavior with Olga, I think. But he does seem capable of recognizing his mistakes, which is insane to say that is the bar, apparently, considering other people are unable to do that on this season. And so maybe he's just slightly better than everyone else. And so I think better of him. I'm not sure.
That's the thing, right? It's like because the bar is set so low, given the makeup of this entire cast, he's coming out looking a lot better by the end because he's at least had moments where he's talking about this stuff and he's realized that he's messed up. You know, he's mentioned on the tell-all that, like, I should have apologized to, there have been moments where I should have apologized to Olga, which I don't think many of these people could or would or will do. The one thing that I just remember that I would like to also talk about is that conversation they have when they brought baby back. I'm just going to call Richie baby now. Sorry. When they brought baby back home and big baby Steven is sitting there and saying, I know the baby matters, but we need to focus on us too. You need to say thank you to me. Like, you have you even showed appreciation for all the things I've done for you, that I've done for us? Like, in front of the person who pushed a baby, his baby, out of her body for him.
Well, no, I mean, so C-sections are harder on the body. Like, birth is terrible, but C-sections, you're literally going under major surgery to remove the baby. So it's even worse than that. And I know that we're talking about Steven's garbage behavior, but when you said baby back, do you guys have Chili's in Canada?
No, but we did have it in Dubai.
Okay, so do you know the commercials with the baby back ribs?
I want
my baby back, baby back, baby back.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, that's all I could think about. So sorry, it's a quick tangent.
Got to get ribs after this episode, done.
Oh my God, that does sound really good. Okay. I don't know. There was part of me, you know, Olga is such a sweetheart and really seems like she's trying so hard. I just wanted her to go move in with her salad making friend that they met in Moscow.
Yeah.
Just be with her. Take the baby with you. Run away from Steven.
Yeah, pull a Colini and make her the dad.
Yeah, so do we know who's going to be on Happily Ever After?
There have been whispers in the wind. There's been murmurs of potential people that are going to be there. I don't think Olga and Steven have been in talks, but honestly, I kind of see Olga and Steven's situation a little bit like Paul and Carini from Before the 90 Days, because we haven't even seen Olga in the States yet. So I could totally see them bringing these two back for the next season as a continuation of their story with her in the States.
Yeah, well, that's what I wonder, because she, I think we found out on social media, she just got her visa. Oh my God. No, I remember. Okay, so Steven posted about this on Instagram and that she got her visa on December something, 20 something. But of course, it's 2 days before his birthday or something. And he made the post all about him. It was like, oh, best birthday gift to me. And all I could think about was Olga just, he has this way of,
Liana, he's turning 21. He's going to be a legal adult. He can drink. This is an important occasion we need to celebrate.
Yeah, this is apparently something we really need to talk about, is when do you actually become an adult?
Oh, we'll get to this because it's a very hot button topic, I guess, with these cast members.
Oh, my goodness. All right. That's I think that's all I have about them.
Yeah, they're pretty much like, my list was pretty short and sweet. Trying to steal baby, super dickish. We touched on all of that. So
baby back ribs. Go. I think we got
baby
it.
Baby back, baby back, baby back ribs.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about Jay and Ashley. Ashley is 33 years old and she met Jay, who's 20, when she was vacationing at a resort for her friend's wedding. This is from the TLC description. The pair connected via social media and continued to talk after her trip. 6 months later, she returned to Jamaica and he proposed. Also, Ashley has two young children, which that was in the first episode. And then I remember not being a part of the season at all, which I guess I should say kudos to her for keeping her kids out of the spotlight, because the kid relationship with Eric and Lita, for example, was just unpleasant. So, yeah, good for her. So then they get married and Jay moves all the way to Pennsylvania to be with her.
Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. To live with her. Yeah, the first glance of Jay and Ashley was a little creepy, and not for the reasons people might think. Like, the age thing wasn't a thing. This isn't a Mark and Nikki situation. This is a regular, like, age difference. This is fine. What was creepy was just the Jay footage and the B-roll, and Jay's like this, like, weird strippery, like, magic mic dancer, and then him telling her that he's going to be giving her the D every night. Like, it was kind of like a lot of thirst. The thirst was real to start off, and I kind of felt a little uncomfortable with it.
See, I don't even, maybe it's just because all the stuff that happened afterwards, but I remember liking them in the beginning. They reminded me of Melanie and DeVar from season 3, who was also a woman from Pennsylvania and a guy from Jamaica.
I could see why you saw them as a comparison.
There may be some similarities, but I was like, oh, they worked out. This is going to be fine.
It's the same situation.
It's exactly the same. But yeah, now that you're talking about it, Jay with all, and all of the footage of Jay grinding on people,
gyrating,
and giving lap dances. But it's like, oh, he'll move, he'll calm down. Maybe he's looking for a different lifestyle.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like his intro package was similar to Patrick from Before the 90 Days. Patrick was kind of like that guy too, where, like, he's shirtless, he's dancing, he's gyrating. So I feel like that's kind of like when I saw that, I was like, oh no. But I remember thinking Ashley's great and, you know, he can be great. There's still hope for both of them. And then, from episode 1, we kind of started talking about cheating, and that was a big theme in their relationship from episode 1 all the way to the end.
Yeah, I will say I was on Ashley's side at the beginning. I thought Natalie, who was the friend, must be making all of this up. I trust Ashley. It seems like, you know, even though she was engaged 2 times before, she at least had the sense to call it off before. So I'm sure she has, you know, some sense about her and she'll be able to call it off. But then as the season progressed, and especially with the whole Tinder thing at the end, it's like, oh my God. Natalie was right. The friend on the moped is right.
That moped had to have been the reason. They were like, oh, you ride a moped? We need you to come to this house and bang the door, because she was mic'd up, just to move forward for a second. She was mic'd up when they got to the house. So that was definitely production being like, hey, grab a couple drinks, come here, fight. We need you to talk to them.
I still think, and she also said, I'm like the bull waving the flag. Natalie, yeah, which, I don't think that's not how bullfights
work. That's not how matadors work. That was completely, completely wrong. Also, in episode one, doesn't Ashley say something along the lines of, if Jesus Christ was to come down here and tell me that Jay's been cheating on me, I wouldn't do anything about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but that wasn't in the past. But that was in the past. Yeah, then Tinder happened now. So now it's different. Or maybe it's just Jesus. She's okay if Jesus tells her, but if someone else tells her, then maybe she's not okay. Right. Like Lucifer, sure. Lucifer shows up, Buddha shows up and tells me, then okay, yes, I will believe them.
Oh, my Buddha. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Natalie is no Jesus by any means.
Oh, my God. I just still can't get over that last scene of Natalie on the moped just scooting away. As someone who's had a moped before, there is no cool way, especially when you're trying to do this dramatic scene when you've had a fight with somebody.
Yeah.
It sort of reminded me of she's trying to slam the door. Kind of like, oh, my God, what was her name from Big Brother?
Bailey
when Bailey had that fight with Tyler and tried to slam the door, but it was a sliding door, so it slammed and then just came right back open. That's exactly what happens when you ride away from a dramatic scene on a moped. Like, she should have just scootered away on one of those Razor scooters. That would have had the same effect.
Yeah, or a tricycle. Honestly, it does at that point. That your badass meter has broken, so don't bother.
Clown car.
So let's talk a little bit more about the humble beginnings of Jay and Ashley before it all kind of went down to hell. So Jay is a tattoo. No, not even. Can we please?
He's a tattoo.
Please. So Jay has his, when Jay goes to have his final interview to get the K-1 visa, Ashley flies in to be there with him for support, right? And then she stays at what looks like this like outdoor bar patio thing. He comes back. He got the result. Woo, he's going to Vegas. I mean, to the States. But then they have to go say goodbye to Jay's dad.
Oh, I forgot about the dad.
Yeah, I mean, he's an iconic man, apparently, in the circles that Jay and Ashley were roaming. So there's so many questions as to why this dad's name is what it is. And why his own son would refer to him as Skins.
Peaskins.
I know it's Peaskins, but I'm too afraid to say Peaskins because it's kind of icky.
It's because he gets so much skin.
Pea skin.
That's not... Oh, my God. Are we allowed to say that on a podcast? I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't want to test the waters. Yeah. I don't want to be the first ones on the network to have said that. So
if we say cat skins... Nope, that's somehow worse.
No, that's worse. Like what cat, taxidermy, nunny.
Yeah, okay.
Cookie dough, like, no, you just
please don't better not conflate those two stories in my mind. Yes. Oh my God, I forgot about Peaskins. Yeah.
Yeah. So like his dad, I think from what I gathered, is a cab driver, and he comes out and they have this like awkward goodbye. And then his dad says, I'm the real Skins, you're little Skins. And Ashley's just standing there like, and she's supposed to be for this. Like, it must have been so uncomfortable to be Ashley at this point. Just like listening to these two guys bro out.
That should have been a red flag. Now that I'm thinking about all the things that we saw with Jay. How, Ashley, do you not see this red flag behavior in front of you of how this guy is behaving? And, you know, I don't know. Maybe her and Natalie had a really strained relationship of why she wouldn't trust Natalie, but... I mean, clearly the guy got around, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that the signs were there, right? So another thing that really popped out to me was when they're back in the States and what's his name? Jay gets a message and she's like, who's that from? He's like, oh, one of my clients back from Jamaica. She's like asking me if I'm going back to do tattoos. I'm like, I don't know anybody who has a direct relationship with their tattoo artist unless they're friends, right? So why would someone be like, hey, so are you coming back anytime soon? I got this bitchin' tattoo that I want to do. Like, this was clearly his excuse, like his wraparound to talk about with other people and be like, yeah, it's just a client. Like, that's all that is. That's all that's going on. So that was a red flag. Another red flag is, who's going to McDonald's at 11 p.m. at night unwarranted?
Unlike,
really? Liana, if you
so good.
Oh, I agree, and I would definitely go, but I would have the decency to ask you before I left, hey, do you want anything, Liana? You want, like, nuggets? You want, like, a Happy Meal? Like, I would ask.
Oh my god, wait, are you going to McDonald's right now? How quick can you bring me nuggets?
So if you filibuster for the next 8 minutes, I can run down the street, get McNuggets, and be back here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, okay, so obviously, I think if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, maybe it could be a common courtesy to tell someone where you're going.
I feel like that's the bare minimum.
But I think, I mean, Jay is also really young. I'm not trying to make excuses for him because he was obviously had some horrendous behavior. But, I mean, I don't know. I felt like they were actually pretty boring in general, except for when it started to get closer to the end. Also, okay, I feel like that whole the racial comments on their website, wedding registry, was totally a fake storyline, because so the sleuths on Reddit couldn't find a marriage certificate for them in Las Vegas where they got married. And then there's pictures that Ashley has posted on social media of what clearly looks like a wedding in Jamaica. So I don't know if it was a K-1 visa that they did, or if it was just a ceremony and they weren't legally married or whatever the deal was. But from her posting on social media, there were a lot of red flags about their story. Like, it just seemed like it all seemed so fake.
Right. And like, based on the post, it looked like it was one person. Like, for a while, I thought maybe it's Natalie. Right. And she's just trying to like do stuff to kind of break him off, because the other thing was that I think the more and more Natalie pushed that he's cheating on you, the more and more she got turned off by Natalie and felt closer to Jay and thought, she's an idiot, I'm not gonna believe her. And like, that kind of made it so that even any red flags came up, she didn't notice them. But the website definitely seemed a little bit suspect. And then we saw like one scene of them installing the camera, but then we never went back to that.
Yeah, it was weird.
And so here's what I want to ask you, Liana, right? So I'll paint you a scenario, right? So say you have a friend who's going to go get married and they decide they're going to go elope in Vegas. Would you let your friend, this is a moment they pictured all their lives, and they're not really that big of Elvis fans, but they go to get married at a Elvis chapel. Is that normal? Like, maybe I don't get it.
Yeah, I'd be totally down. I wanted to elope for my first wedding. My ex-husband didn't want to, so I totally get it.
but Elvis, I feel like there's a drive-through marriage. Like, you could get married at a Walmart.
How
like,
dare
I
you?
Know.
I would totally want to be married by a really bad Elvis impersonator. I think it'd be fun. But I'm also, you know, I don't know. I'm not a traditional person. I don't think I should be the person that you're asking. But no, I don't think it's too far off. I don't think it's crazy.
I guess like for me, it's like they didn't even seem like they were big Elvis fans. Also, the idea that I'd have to use Hunka Hunka Burn and Love in my vows just is a turnoff for me.
When I write my vows for my next marriage, totally going to put Hunka Hunka Burn and Love in there.
Oh, my God.
Husband. Okay. All right. So I just have one other thing that I want to talk about with them. Can we talk about the friend Brandy?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Brandy. What about Brandy, Leon? I don't know what you're referring to.
I just want to talk about the fact that she went on the live mid-season show or whatever with that like boob hole shirt.
Yeah, Brandy, and then they went to like the park. Like, she dresses very, how do we put this, provocatively for such random places.
She's got,
like the places don't match.
But she's got like a good daytime like stripper look going on, I thought.
Yeah,
but I think they all need better friends. Because if you're gonna let your friend wear something like that, I don't know, it's her prerogative, but but not for live TV would just be my my personal suggestion. But you know, you do you, girl.
And already that couch on the live show with Michelle Collins is so low to the ground that sitting on it is awkward enough.
Oh my god, that's what, okay, you know, her boob hole is fine. Screw that stupid couch. Actually, that whole set, those whole episodes are always just garbage. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. There are two things I want to bring up before we move on from Jay and Ashley. So remember the one scene where I believe Jay cooks for her? And they're like sitting and they're kind of trying to have a conversation. This is around the time where the McDonald's trip comes up, the 11 p.m. trip comes up. Did you notice that Jay is sitting there? This big ass / little boy is drinking out of a juice pouch while she's having a glass of wine. Did you notice this?
Oh, my God.
This?
Hell yeah. It was a Capri Sun.
It was a Capri Sun.
It's not legal yet. He can't drink. Also, according to Steven's definition, he's just a young adult. Okay.
He's just a young adult. He's a young adult.
Although I will admit, I have bought Lunchables as an adult every once in a while, and those come with Capri Suns, and I happily drink them in secret in my apartment because I don't want anyone to know.
Oh, there's no shame. My one question is, I've noticed people do this, do you poke the hole in where it's meant to be on the top, or are you barbaric and you turn it and you poke it in the bottom? In the base.
No, I stick it through the hole it's supposed to go in, but I'm a very traditional girl in that way. So
yeah, this doesn't sound like innuendo whatsoever.
Asuelu would know what I'm talking about.
Asuelu would know that you're talking about not the boo hole. Another thing that I need to talk about that definitely isn't about juice pouches. The barbershop scene with Jake. Can we talk about that before we move on?
Oh, God, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, there's just more and more evidence building up against him. The fact that he essentially said, if I didn't have to marry her, I wouldn't. Yikes.
Right, which is kind of like, that's kind of the dead giveaway of, oh, I'm here to be in the States. Like,
we haven't talked about his Tinder stuff at all. Okay, this is what I was thinking. He should go make friends. Don't be on Tinder. Go make friends with the guys at the barbershop. They seem super chill. He seemed like he got along with them. Why did he have to go on Tinder to find friends?
Yeah, but I'm kind of happy he didn't go with the barbershop people, because he would have probably ended up being a bigger dick than he already is. I mean, the one guy compared him getting married to having one meal for the rest of his life. That was kind of icky to me. And they were definitely not in for it. And then when the worst part was when they're like, so how many years do you have to be married before you can divorce and stay here? And he was like, oh, about 2 years. And the guy was like, get married, man. It's fine. Like, it's until then they were like, don't do it. And now they're like, oh, do it. 2 years is okay.
Okay. Is it better than to have really bad influence friends or to cheat?
Oh, I mean, cheat.
I mean, they're both terrible options.
I feel like first option would have led to second option anyway, ultimately But also, that's just Jay. I feel like, you know, you can't polish a turd kind of thing. Like, dick's going to be dicks. Although, the one thing I did think was funny was in the wedding vows, he says, I love you, promise to love you tender. And technically, he could argue that he said Tinder, but he's already trying to defend himself too much. And I feel like he might use that as an argument. So, Jay, if you're listening, just own up to it, man. Don't use this as an excuse. It's not okay.
He fulfilled his promise. He does love Tinder, it seems. So
he does. Only for friends, though. Only for friends.
Technically, according to Tinder, you can have like a friend, like only look for friends. So.
You can, but it's still okay. So let's talk about a little bit about this Tinder thing. So that's how it works, right? So you swipe left, you swipe right, but then you can do this thing where like you go with a friend, like you go into the friend section where it's like a group of people and you're a group of people and you're doing the left and right to try and match with people to go out and stuff. But the fact that he gave his number to this girl,
maybe that's just where, friends.
Yeah, that call each other at 11 at night.
To go to McDonald's. And,
well, that's the thing. It's like, if they were really friends, this girl would have been like, oh, yeah, you know, we're just friends. Or like, we met through, she was like, oh, the Jamaican guy that I met on Tinder. Like, she made it seem like, oh, he was DTF.
Yeah, well, that was Ashley's inflection. But yeah, I mean, you think that he would have said like, oh, yeah, I'm here with my wife, blah, 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 whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, they both have their problems. I feel like Ashley, even especially in the tell-all, was still unwilling to admit that, you know, she was wrong about Jay being this, you know, serial cheater, it seems. And then Jay, of course, like, screw that guy. But they're still together, right? Or no?
So what looks like they are still together. There hasn't been any filing for separation. From what I've read online, Jay actually is working as a tattoo artist in Mechanicsburg. Mm-hmm. So I think that means his adjustment of status, like she has filed his paperwork, I'm assuming. But I don't even know. Is he doing it on like TaskRabbit or just going to people's houses and giving them tattoos? I don't know. But they are still together.
I don't know about TaskRabbit, but so the way it works is so this is what I read, is that you don't have to. So you do the K-1 visa, and then when he comes to the United States, you can and you get married. They could file a thing that would essentially give him permission to work. And that's different from his adjustment of status. So they're two different things.
Technically,
they could have filed that maybe like right when he got there, and then he gets that approved so he can start working. But she still might not have filed the adjustment status. I don't know. But she also has been. So this came out on social media that she was actually in the hospital. I guess Ashley has lupus and had some complications with that. She seems to be doing better. I think she actually had a catheter put in, but she seems to be recovering as far as we know. So
thoughts and prayers. She was found with a kidney failure, right? That's what happened.
I think that's what it was.
That's very scary.
Yeah,
so
I do
hopefully
feel bad for her for that. Like, that totally sucks.
Yeah, so I'm hoping a speedy recovery for her. And, you know, I hope they figure it out, they talk it through, whether they're gonna give it another shot or put it to bed. I just hope she comes out of it okay, and I hope he's learned his lesson for his future living, because that is not okay.
Oh my god, can you imagine Jay shows up at the hospital, he's like, okay, you know, we have your IV bags, they're shaped like juice pouches.
Paints Capri Sun on it as a logo.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking through my social media stuff that I pulled, and apparently, this is super, super hearsay, but someone on Reddit says their mom knows someone who knows Jay and Ashley, and apparently they were married in Jamaica before they even came to America, apparently.
Oh, okay.
But maybe, I don't know. Again, total hearsay.
Maybe. Well, because, weren't there pictures that show that Natalie was at the wedding? Too, wasn't that a thing that we saw?
Yeah, but then someone else came out and said that Natalie was stalking them or something and showed up at the wedding. I don't know.
Drove behind their plane on her moped all the way from Mechanicsburg to Vegas.
Yes, that's what I imagined. She drove cross country from Pennsylvania to Las Vegas, Nevada, all on her little scooter, which probably goes max 35 miles an hour.
Listening to Highway on the Danger Zone to the Danger Zone multiple times on repeat. I could see it.
Oh my god, she didn't even have a helmet. I was like, girl, let me get you a helmet. Okay, all right, that's enough of them. I don't think I can take much more. Oh no, but I don't want to talk about this next couple either.
Well, we gotta just rip the band-aid off. just gotta fight through it. I think this is the worst of the worst right here.
All right, let's talk about Eric and Lita. So Eric is from Baraboo, Wisconsin, which was recently in the news because weren't there kids who posted a picture of doing the Nazi salute?
So this junior high prom, the boys got into one big photo on the steps of the school and decided, you know what'd be a good idea if we do the Nazi salute? And like some of them didn't, and then some of them did interviews where they said they were really uncomfortable. But this was straight up 35 kids, 30 of them were doing it in November of 2018. So that's terrifying.
Because this is somehow worse than the Tide Pod challenge.
Eat Tide Pods and don't do this.
No, it should be the same group of people that do pods.
I mean, it is. It's the same. They're a generation below us, right? So I think in about 5 years, we'll be complaining about them. So right, we'll be ready for that.
All right. Yeah. So let's keep going. So Eric met Lita on an international dating site, which I will say is complete and utter BS. So apparently Eric posts, this is from outside the show. Sorry, spoilers. Eric posted a Craigslist ad. That's how he met Lita. Okay, so yes, the mail order bride off Craigslist is how they met. So, international dating site, sure. I guess you can consider Craigslist. is that?
If it's .com, it's international. If it's .ca, it's Canadian. That's what it counts as. So.
Okay, so this was from Indonesia, so whatever that was. So Eric is a former Marine, and Lita, this is my favorite part of the description, claims to be a model, actress, teacher, and medical school graduate from a wealthy
girl
family.
Girl can do it all. She can do everything.
Yes. And so she prepares to move to Wisconsin and is worried that Eric pays child support. And likewise, Eric's family is questioning why Lita would want to give up her affluent surroundings.
Yeah. Thoughts? Okay. So you know how there was, I said at the beginning, the scale? Uh-oh. This couple needs to be off the scale. This should be like Ricky and Melissa. They should never exist. This is just an awful pairing from the beginning. They are weird. They are awful. And to be fair, in the first couple episodes, I thought Lita's sister was the worst person on the show. But then Lita completely made me forget about her sister. And I just think Lita's the worst.
I forgot about Ricky and Melissa from before the 90 days. Jimena deserves better. Okay.
She really does.
So, all right. So I will say my first impressions, because again, first impressions. I was actually a little bit relieved because it felt like, oh, here's a relationship where the foreigner is sort of the wealthy one. It felt like a little bit of reversal of roles. And it's going to be the like anti-male, Asian male order bride kind of thing that we've seen a number of times on the show. And then it just devolved into utter madness with the two of them. Just Lita being so stuck up about the fact that, oh, she's willing to give all this up. But it was never about how much she loves Eric. It was always just, well, I need to move to America to further my medical career, which, by the way, she is not a doctor by any like stretch. People have looked into this and she is not. Okay, so like, let's just settle that here and now. And it just, there was something always sort of icky about them, from the fact that also they drove from Wisconsin to New York. I don't know why they didn't fly there. They just fly. I don't know. There's just something off about them. And then when we get into the whole Lita with the child support thing and the Tasha relationship,
oh my God. It was a mess. Like, it really was a complete and utter mess from the beginning. Because, like, the first scene we get with them, Eric is putting the luggage in the trunk and Lita is screaming, Put it in proper, please. Which, now that I'm yelling, it does not sound great. Not gonna lie.
I use that now. I've used that a couple times. It's not proper.
It's not proper sounds a lot better than me yelling, put it in proper, multiple times. I hope my neighbors don't freak out. So,
yeah, between boo-hole and put it in proper, that could take a very different meaning.
Yeah. Whoever's behind my house door right now is probably like, just confused, to say the least. Put it in proper. Yeah, so between that stuff, and then she brings her whole family. Like, her whole family flies in. Like, they are supposed to, like, assess the situation and decide whether this is good enough for her.
Right, because they were supposed to... Were they going to, sign off on the conditions that were there?
Yeah,
was that the point? I don't know. I think part of it was TLC flew them out there to have drama, but that's just me.
Well, like, okay, so the sister made it seem like she's straight up here to decide whether this is good or not, or they'll pull the plug on the operation and take her back to Indonesia, which came up a billion times. Indonesia, my house in Indonesia. Also, while I'm here ranting about Lita, I hate the way she says daughter. I hate it. It's stupid. And like, I felt bad initially because I was like, maybe this is how she learned English and like, this is part of her dialect and now I'm being insensitive. No, there have been various comments on Reddit that have proven that this is not the dialect. Because she clearly is speaking regular English. Her sister speaks regular, clear English, but Lita peppers in these British pronunciations on some words because I think she thinks it makes her sound posh, and it really does work with her stuck up brand, and it's so irritating to me.
Yeah, it's very inconsistent. So I'll read you part of the post. I saw something similar. I don't know if this is the same one you're referring to, but somebody said, this is an Indonesian perspective on Lita and comments about a number of things about her, but I want to comment on Lita's English. Her accent is so freaking fake. I can't stand to listen to her private interviews. Growing up, Indonesians tend to speak English with an American accent and an Indonesian intonation. And it's super rare to see an Indonesian with a British accent. And the dead giveaways of the fact that, like you said, her parents nor her sister have that accent. So it doesn't really make any sense why Lita would be the only one who has that.
Right. And it's like, if it's one of those things where it's like, oh, she had moved to the UK and was there for like 3 years, then I'd buy it. Cause like some people pick up accents real quick, but it's because it's selective words. Mm-hmm. It really does not seem genuine.
Proper.
And it just proper daughter.
Your daughter.
His daughter. Yeah. Oh God. And then, okay. So her sister, we've discussed, she's the worst. She's really not great. But then like the dad seemed calm and nice. The mom seemed calm. The brother just looked like the jolly giant, yeah, just nice and friendly.
They're just like chain smoking in the background.
Yeah. They're just chilling. Her son, just poor son, like the many moments we've seen her be in a shouting match with somebody and we see a shot of her son in the background playing games and chilling, like I want this kid's like composure. This kid was clearly just focused on video games or something else, because they were not fazed by anything going on in the background.
I feel horrible for, what's that kid's name?
Alessandro.
Yeah. He seems, I mean, I guess he's only five. I was going to say he seems relatively well adjusted. Like, okay, Liana,
poor
he's
kids,
five.
It's just the beginning. Yeah.
It's just the beginning. I know. Poor kid. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I think we really have to get into everything with Tasha.
So much with them. Oh my God. Yeah, definitely. Wait. Before we get into Tasha, can we give the backstory of why the Tasha Lita relationship comes off contentious to start?
Okay, sure.
So as you said, they drive to New York. So along the way, so they, you know, first Lita shows up with her sister and her son, and then they drive to, I think it was New York, they do a bit of sightseeing, then they drive back to pick up the parents, and then they drive back again. But in the midst of all this, finally Eric takes Lita to show her the house where they're, his apartment, where they're going to be living. Mm-hmm. And they walk in and the apartment is a pigsty. It is not as bad as, I don't remember his name, but Noon's husband that lived in, from season 3, that lived in New Orleans with the shotgun mm-hmm. apartment. Like, that was a hot mess. This was not as bad, but it was still pretty horrible.
I like that you're describing it like someone who would be listening to this podcast. Well, they'll know the Noon and the guy from Noon's reference.
I mean, they were pretty unique, right? I feel, maybe. I don't know.
Kyle?
Was it Kyle? Okay, yes. Kyle and Noon. That makes sense. It was like their apartment. Anyways, the point is they had roaches. They don't. That's really the only difference, okay? And then, yes. So it's messy. Lita comes in, sees this big mess, freaks out. And Eric essentially says, oh, that Tasha, I told her to clean up. Classic Tasha. And just blames it all on Tasha. And then we get into this dispute where, like, I guess at this point, Tasha said that that wasn't all me. And then Lita just completely blamed it on Tasha. Lita believes that Tasha did this to mess with her and just wants Tasha to move out. So, Liana, take it away from here.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh my God, I might as well just rewatch the episode.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the things that I will say about it is, first of all, Lita is a terrible person for making Eric choose, which, by the way, the stuff that Eric was saying in the tell-all was just so incredibly uncomfortable. Like, the fact
so
that
bad.
Eric was going to say, oh, I have nothing to say to her until she apologizes, until Tasha apologizes and understands there's consequences for her actions. What are you talking about? Consequences to her actions. Like, let's just say for a brief second that, okay, she was the one that left the apartment super messy. You're going to kick your kid out because of that? And, oh, I haven't been able to rely on her for a very long time. Like, I'm sorry, wait, what? You haven't been able to rely on her? I just felt like Lita got off super easy. I mean, Eric was being a horrible person, but Lita got off, I mean, she was just essentially like making Eric choose between his kids and the and her. It's
yeah.
just really, and the fact is, she was telling that makeup artist, he's got baggage, he's got a lot of kids. Bitch, you have a kid too!
You got baggage.
You have baggage.
Are you fucking kidding me?
We all have baggage. Deal with it.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, it was pretty freaking horrible. And that entire conversation with her trying to teach Eric what priority means. She's like, so you need to put me at the top, at the priority top. And he's like, So yeah, you and my daughter's on the same level. No, no, that's not what priority means. Like, we have to be at the top. And the fact that she sees this child, like him paying child support as the thing standing in between her being number one priority and like the kids and him. And it was just, it was awful. And that was the moment probably that I felt most for Eric, was when he claps back at her and says, this is selfish and this isn't fair. But that was like the last redeeming moment Eric had, because after that, he completely bends the knee to her and, you know, lets Tasha get kicked out.
Yeah.
And lets the relationship get strained. And then by the time we see him at the tell-all, he's clearly been so hypnotized that he's completely willing to say these things to his 19-year-old daughter. And it's not okay. Also, did you catch during part one tell-all, right after the tell-all, he got on Instagram Live and did what looked like a hostage situation where he was reading off a script that she wrote for him?
Okay, wait, okay. But first of all, I had a joke, but you kept talking. Okay, he got hypnotized by her, like those contact lenses that she was wearing during the tell-all. Okay, that's done. Let's move on. No, I did not. I don't even understand what you're talking about at all.
Okay, so it was pretty terrifying, and it was over 40 minutes long. So you best believe I did not watch
it. Wait, he was a hostage? What?
Yeah, so he's sitting, and it's like, just the background and the shoddy pixels, it looked like he was being held hostage and he was given a ransom note to read out. It's like, you know, I've been held captive. You got to come save me. They want $50 million, whatever. But instead, he was just arguing for Lita, that Lita doesn't deserve any of the hate she's getting online, that Lita has done nothing wrong. And this went on and on. And like, you could tell he was reading off of something that she had given him. And we can, I just wanted to point this out as like how far he's fallen into her trap. Not that he was like a peach and he could have been saved. He was a mess from the beginning, but we'll dive into all of them, their nonsense later on. Cause there's just so much with these two. There's so much drama. And
I just want to talk about it now. So the Lita stuff that like, she was getting a lot of hate online because, so I know that she was trying to be one of those influencers on Instagram, but she got dropped by a number of her sponsors. at least four, like Shirley Mine, Smile Vegan Style, Black Mask, were some of them. And then she sort of did this picture with a FabFitFun box that made it seem like she was an influencer for them. And FabFitFun was like, we don't know who this is. We don't like her. We're distancing ourselves from her, because they got a lot of comments from people online that were essentially saying she's a garbage person. Please don't. Deal with her, essentially.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I feel like, you know, I wouldn't say that I think the 90 Day Fiance fandom is that big, but my God, were people really vocal about their distaste for Lita. And for Lita to get these things pulled or disassociated completely just shows how horrible she was, that the vocal minority was a majority and really loud about it.
Yeah, well, there was a change.org petition to send her back to Indonesia, so people cared enough to make one of those.
Yeah, I feel like the last time I remember a change.org to send someone back would have been Bieber to Canada.
Oh, yeah, well, that didn't work, did it?
No. No, it did not. Yeah. You guys still have him.
Okay.
But he's cool now. I feel like he's okay.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay, I don't even know what else to say about them. Oh, no, I do. I want to talk about the dad, Eric's dad, because they replayed this clip at the tell-all and it reminded me of it, but I wrote down this quote. So this is something that Eric's dad said to Eric. You're going to have to stand behind your children. Believe me, it's not always easy to watch some of the decisions your children make and bite your tongue. Obviously talking about Eric in the situation. So I'm just secretly hoping that Eric's dad, the grandfather to Tasha and
Jenica
and other one, I'm hoping,
and the third,
yeah, I'm hoping that they're able to help, but obviously they have their stepmom as well. But I don't know, I just feel really horrible for Tasha and other one.
Yeah, no, they really are getting the short end of the stick here. Like, is there any way you could come out of this situation feeling less important to your father than this? Like, you got kicked out completely kicked out. He took the side of this person he's known for a really short amount of time. She is bringing in a kid of her own that he now has to prioritize over his existing kids. And then he expects them to apologize and he expects them to show up at his wedding, which, speaking of, perfect segue to talk about that awkward ass bar meal when they all met. He met with the daughters to convince them to come to the wedding.
Oh, when they were at the diner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. Jenica, is that the youngest one? I think she had a confessional that perfectly described the situation, essentially, of just like, this is insanity.
Yeah.
So some stuff from social media that I want to bring up. Eric, according to Tasha's Instagram Live, and then it's come up in a few other places, but apparently he's like a really heavy binge drinker, which explains why he looks the way he does at 40 years old. And apparently Tasha admitted on one of her Instagram Lives that Eric has an addiction has had addiction problems in the past and lived out of his car for 2 years before he moved in with her.
Yeah.
Right?
This was her apartment.
Yeah. Which just adds a whole nother twist to it. Once I read that, I couldn't even believe it because, you know, not that I was going to ever take his side. I felt horrible for Tasha. I mean, no. I get it. Like, clean up your shit, girls. Like, but it was at least in her space. Oh my God. That reminds me of the tell-all when they were doing the thing about, she said, don't come in my room. And they said, well, the door was open. What?
That is such a parent thing, though. It's like, technically, I just peeked in. That doesn't count.
Yeah. She went in the room. It's different between looking in and her actually going in the room.
Yeah. Well, they were trying to explain it. I was like, you know, it wasn't latched, so it was kind of open. We just pushed it open. No, that wasn't the case. We saw her open the handle, right? Mm-hmm. And clearly, you can tell based on how we're reacting to this, we were born in a generation where this was a big contentious thing. But it was just insane to me that they were trying to argue this, because on no grounds was she allowed to go into that room, in my opinion. I thought it was completely out of left, or like that she went into that room and started, quote unquote, packing/cleaning.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that was in the time when she was moving her out, or it seemed to be about another incident potentially. But yeah, I don't know. Let's see. I guess I just have one other thing. So Lita, if you haven't seen her social media, which don't see her social media, she photoshops her chin, which, you know what? I get it. There's a lot of, like, I'm a woman and there's a lot of pressure. Well, men and women, all people have this pressure to look a certain way. I get it. You're going to photoshop. But it's just so funny because I never would have noticed anything about her face until she started photoshopping this like giant pointy chin on her face. I don't know, maybe that's a standard of beauty that I'm not particularly familiar with, but it's just very funny. So it's always fun to look at when she photoshops herself. It's very lovely.
Well, it's like some, you know, with different people have different preferences, right? So it's like someone's like, oh, take a picture of me from the left, that's my good side, or like, wait, let me like people know their angles and know what works for them. That's why I'm more, like, myself included, like most people, when they're taking selfies, they kind of all look the same because like that's the tried and true work that we know that works. We're using it. But for Lita, she takes the photo. She uses it. She adds this chin because I feel like she thinks what's missing? A beautiful big chin. Big chin equals big personality. And I feel like that's what she's doing.
But I guess what I don't get is she's on TV where we see her without the Photoshop. Yeah. So,
well, at no point, I think, has anyone thought Lita is someone who thinks with a lot of common sense.
Yeah,
like that should be obvious, true, but it's not to her. There's just, I feel like with her and Eric, there was just so much going online throughout the season, and they had a bunch of Instagram Lives. They were one of the few couples from the season that were on Cameo from early on.
They're on Cameo.
I don't think they are now still, but they were on Cameo. Colty and Larissa were on Cameo. And I just remember seeing one of them because someone bought a Cameo on behalf of Reddit. Then they were responding to Reddit and she was like, see, I have a chin. I have a chin. And Eric's like, yeah, see, she has a chin. She knows what she's doing. I'm just like, God, this is awkward. So shout out to Reddit.
Okay, how much do you think it costs to get a Cameo from Eric and Lita?
$50.
No, 35.
That's a discount. That's, okay.
No, don't give them any money.
No, listen, I wasn't gonna, but if anyone wants to get one for your birthday, I'm not gonna stop.
Oh my God, shut up. Okay, what about, okay, so Colt has a 90-day, or has a cameo. How much do you think for Colt?
I think, oh, we're gonna talk about him later, but I think he's a 50 buck
yeah,
guy.
He's, yeah, $50.
Oh, God, what a prize that one is.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cameo, okay, so just a quick aside, John from 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days.
It's the best cameo.
Cameos are the best. He's usually just cursing people out, and it's really great.
Yeah, like, he really follows directions. And if anyone's, like, questioning why we know so much about this, is because I have definitely looked at it in my spare time, because someone will tell him, like, tell my friend Steven to stop being an a-hole and come out with us. And he will follow that directive, and he'll take it up a notch, and he'll use 7 different types of curse words. So he really follows it well. I've never felt closer to the Travelocity gnome than I do when I watch his cameos.
He's such a gnome. We should do a podcast about Before the 90 Days. All right. All right. Well, yes, let's get back to the people at hand.
Yes.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to say about Eric and Lita? I think I'm all talked out when it comes to them.
I've been all talked out, yeah. But I think the last thing I want to talk about is the fact that he forgets his pants for the wedding.
Oh yeah.
Well, technically, apparently she was packing the clothes, but she blamed him for the pants, and then she had to hold his hand and go to the pants store to get him pants. It was just a mess.
The pants store.
The pants. Yeah, hello, this is the pants store. How can we help you today?
Yeah,
oh, I need pants.
I got his pants for the wedding. That was great. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about Colt suit later. Okay. All right, let's get into Jonathan and Fernanda, because personally I think they're the most boring, and let's get them out of the way before we talk about Colty and Larissa. So
yeah.
Jonathan and Fernanda. Jonathan, 32 years old, met Fernanda while vacationing in Mexico. The pair hit it off despite their age difference, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Started dating, and then Jonathan, real estate broker, flew to Mexico to pick up Fernanda. They arrived in North Carolina to begin the 90-day process.
Yes. That we could honestly end it at that, yeah, for them, which is sad. 12 episodes later, that's kind of what it is. There's, like, for me, they have the shortest bullet points, okay? Mm-hmm. They have 4 things that I kind of want to touch on, okay? Uh-huh. So first of all, I feel like we start with, so yeah, she moves there. She's 19 years old. He's a real estate broker. They live in North Carolina. How much is there to do there? I don't know. Maybe there's a lot to do there, but I personally don't think there is a lot to do there based on what we've seen. Pantygate is rule number one on this on this conversation.
Yep.
So for people who are wondering, oh, what would Pantygate mean? I will tell you. So Fernanda is doing a tour of the house, you know, doing her thing, and just, you know, starts opening the drawers in the dresser and finds panties. And Jonathan just says, oh, that's from someone from way back when. Like, I didn't even know they were there. Which, like, she got pissed because she's like, well, didn't I tell you to clean up? Weren't you supposed to clean up? Which, obviously, like, he was supposed to clean up. I feel like if you're about to embark on this whole new journey with a significant other, you're going to get married. Like, why are you not doing this? Why are you not cleaning up?
Yeah.
That was just bizarre to
okay,
me.
Well, I was going to ask you that because I guess I know he just moved the whole thing. Is that pretty common? Is that like a trophy thing? Like, he's going to keep thongs from the previous women that he slept with? Is that a thing?
I feel like personally, I'm not a trophy guy, but I think some people are like that. They like keeping little mementos and reminders of, like, ugh, this is such a disgusting word to use, but they like conquests kind of mentality, mm-hmm. like that kind of nonsense. I feel like that could have been it. That could have been it. But either way, you're a dumbass if you're not, you know, sifting through your stuff before someone's going to come live with you, you know, for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So I guess my first impressions, panty get aside, you know, he seemed really kind of immature to me. But you know, she was 19 too, so it felt like, okay, well, mentally they're both in the same space, so maybe they'll be good together. And then what else? I don't really even have that much else about them. So they had the fight at that club. Oh my God, which Jonathan exiting the club yelling Fernanda in like this really crazy accent, which I've never heard him say her name in that accent before.
Yeah.
It was really very soap opera-y. But even that, I do like secretly wonder if that woman that came up to dance with him was a mole planted right, by TLC. Because it's like, God, these guys are so boring. Because I remember for them, it was, you know, they do at the bottom, oh, 90 days until they have to get married, or, you know, 88 mm-hmm. days, 72 days. And for them, 90 days, 60 days. It just started going really quickly because there was nothing yeah. exciting really about them.
Literally not much. I feel bad for you because I feel like since BB in All Stars 3, you've been trying to find a mole somewhere.
Oh, dear.
And this is your next. Sorry, but <it's... laughs> I hope you find your mole, Leon. I genuinely do. Yeah, no, the club thing was kind of like, it did seem planted. His arguments were dumb, obviously. That whole thing was, he was out of order without a doubt. Also,
I don't know his timing though. Like, I mean, I think it was bad timing. He did say, hey, like, I'm waiting for my fiance. She's in the bathroom.
He did, but it was all verbal. Like, his mouth was saying something, but his body wasn't. So, like, if she's seeing it, it kind of does look incriminating, I guess. But also, like, why are you going to the, like, why are you drinking when she can't drink?
Yeah,
like,
is that fun was rude. For you? That was kind of rude.
Yeah.
If my partner yeah. had to be sober, I would be sober with them as well.
Yeah. I feel like if I was the one that was drinking and my partner was sober, I feel like one drink just to hold something in my hand, good enough. Like, he's, like, pounding back shots. Like, what is that?
He's having a good time. Yeah. So there was that. Oh, my God. Okay, though, I think my favorite moment from them came in the very first episode when Jonathan was saying, you know, all the things that he'd done for Fernanda. Like,
oh,
he had
no.
paid for her school. And then he bought her her breast implants. But Jonathan describes it as boobies. And he whispers
and he whispered.
It. Yeah, he whispers it. Like, this, like, immature frat boy. Like, boobies.
Boobies.
Breast implants, Jonathan.
If you gotta whisper boobies, like, how far have you come along?
That reminds me of the Arrested Development joke. You know, if it's pop up, if you say pop up, you're too young. Clearly, you're too young. If you say boobies, clearly, you're too young. I mean, I guess the biggest. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, my favorite moment, Liana, has to be when they went to meet his mom
yeah.
for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, far and wide, my favorite because. Their back and forth, their sassy back and forth was a thing to see. And I think that was where they peaked.
Mm.
And after that, they were kind of just bland to the end.
Yeah, because I guess they do have that storyline where Fernanda is trying to get Jonathan to talk more with his family and be a bigger part mm-hmm. of his family's life. Even though, you know, he now lives in South Carolina and his family lives in Chicago. But yeah, that conversation between, because Jonathan's mother had been married, I think, a couple times before, right?
Yeah.
And so Jonathan is, oh, you can give us advice. You know what it's like to have been married a couple times. And then she says, wait,
yeah, don't I would say don't
do
it.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And then having her and his sister, which I thought his sister was great. I thought she was great. She definitely warmed up to Fernanda and him, which was lovely. Yeah. Then they do their wedding dress shopping, which was. I felt bad for Fernanda throughout because she clearly missed her family. Like, being yeah. as young as she was, that separation anxiety was real for her.
Yeah.
It really
well,
was.
Well, and that's something that I will say about the people who move essentially away from their entire support system to go live with someone else. I mean, that is insanity. Like, I moved from my ex-husband, but I was at least still in the United States. I was still, you know, a relatively short flight away from my family. It didn't feel like maybe as big of a sacrifice as having to move to a whole new country.
Right. Well, like, as someone who moved from the Middle East to North America for university, it was rough to start because these are people you're seeing every day. You're talking to every day. And then suddenly there's this big disconnect. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously with the years going by, learning to adapt with using social media or Skype, it's been a lot easier. But definitely at the start, it's rough. And then I guess we can now move in and talk about the fact that Fernanda moves with Jonathan, but then Jonathan still goes to work every day and he's putting in all these hours. So she's home alone
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't have all that much to do. And then we do see this boil over when Jonathan goes out to hang out with a friend of his after work for drinks and she gets really frantic and worried and like she needs him. And then they have an argument about that. And you know how bad and dull this couple was when this is like the biggest storyline they had.
Yeah. What I will say about that fight is because she had to give up so much, like I get that sacrifice. But then on the other hand, I did kind of feel a little bit bad for Jonathan. Like, you know, right, the 45 minutes thing. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that was just her showing the fact that she is young, but at the same time, she has been away from her family. And, you know, he talked about, oh, you just talked on the phone with your mom for 6 hours or something like that. And that's different, right, than actually physically being with somebody. You know, it just doesn't have that same sort of connection. So I do feel bad from that perspective. Yeah. Okay. So wait. So at the end of the tell-all, they have theoretically separated. Yes.
Yeah. So according to the 3-second kind of looking like a spoiler at the end, Jonathan and Fernanda have separated as early as I think 3 weeks ago. Mm. I think 3-4 weeks ago. Yeah. So they've called it quits. She has now moved to Chicago, I believe.
Yeah, but see, that's what's interesting to me is, so she moved to Chicago, which is where Jonathan's family lives. And apparently Jonathan started this like side business or something for, and she, like, Fernanda is a model on his site. So there's just a little, it's just very confusing. So, I mean, I believe that when they say they've separated, but it just, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's like, I kind of believe them, because, like, why would anyone, like, lie about that stuff? But given the world that they're in, right, this 90-day fiancé world of, like, spin-off shows and opportunities, I wouldn't put it past any of these couples to try and do something extra for some clout slash exposure on another show later.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing it for something, like, for other reasons, so I'm like, maybe.
Yes. So I'll believe him, but like half believe him.
Yeah. And I was kind of over them at the tell all. Also, all of that social media stuff that was going on between Larissa and Jonathan and Fernanda was so old, it felt.
Yeah, it was like months old.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's segue into our last couple, and then we can sort of talk more holistically about the couples and their interactions. Oh, wait, no, yeah. I have one more thing about Jonathan and Fernanda. I have written down dick pic. So if anyone's interested, there is a dick pic. Jonathan.
Liana, always with the hard-hitting news.
It was
news.
So random. So it was, I think, on Fernanda's Instagram story. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, oh, shot of a concert, shot of a building, shot of Jonathan's dick. It was very much out of the blue. I'm sorry, what did I just see? So that exists. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our last couple. Colty and Larissa. So,
oh my God.
Colty and Larissa met via an online dating website. I don't think it was Craigslist in this situation, but maybe.
Okay.
Colt, a computer programmer who lives with his mother and 3 cats, flew to Mexico to meet Larissa for the first time, spent 5 days together. He subsequently flew to Rio de Janeiro to spend 6 more days with her, and after 11 days total, he proposed marriage, and she moved to Las Vegas to be with him.
This was the description on the website, right?
Yes. That was okay. Liana's description from memory.
Oh, very well put together, Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that hits all the notes with them. I just want to kind of say that we are going to highlight Debbie a lot more than just his mother, because Debbie's a star, and she's going to be in play a lot more. So upon my first impression of these two, I thought, okay, they kind of seem like a couple that I found to see on 90 Day Fiancé. Like, it totally checks out. I feel like we've seen this before on different occasions, and I was excited to see how this would go. But then the more and more episode one went down, the more and more I started feeling bad for Larissa to start. Then I felt bad for Colt. Then I felt bad for neither of them. So it's been an interesting ride with these two.
Yeah, they have been the most roller coaster of a couple for me, between me hating some of them, loving some of them, feeling bad for some of them. It's really just been all over the place. I think my first impressions were, oh, it's like this awkward nerd who found love on this dating website, still lives with his mom, and this woman is going to come in and just, you know, tear everything apart. How wrong I was. Colty is definitely not the super awkward, just so innocent nerd that we thought he was, or at least I thought he was. Oh my God, these people. I don't even know where to start with Colty and Larissa.
So, first shot I remember of Colty is him eating chips out of feeding cookie dough out of his mouth, which I thought, definitely the nerd. Definitely a weirdo.
Wait. Okay, I was going to say, how do you get nerd from feeding a cat chips out of your mouth? That's not nerdy.
I feel like you're getting insulted, and I probably shouldn't have used nerd.
I am insulted.
But like all the other stuff, and then this, I was just like, okay, I don't know. I'm sorry. To all the nerds out there, I was wrong. Please don't come for me. Dare please. You. Okay, I was wrong. Yeah, so Colty has a car with no AC in Vegas. What the hell? How is he living? That is too much.
Okay, here's the things that I would say about Colt and Larissa. Colt has, I thought Larissa was going to come in as this sort of gold digger. We started with the scene at the airport with the flowers where she was complaining that Colt didn't get her flowers. The, oh my gosh, this woman who thinks that Colt is going to buy her everything. But Colt is a complete dick throughout this entire season. He essentially goes, oh yeah, we don't have a couch. We were waiting for you to pick it out. And then Larissa and Debbie go to the couch store to go get couches. And it's like, oh no, sorry, you can't actually get this couch. And then he takes her to a new apartment. Oh, let's go look at this new apartment. No, you can't get this apartment. Oh, let's go look at cars. No, you can't get this cars. Oh yeah, and I'm gonna propose to you at the Stratosphere when she's afraid of heights.
Yeah, it's just like this guy is so stupid and just overlooks so many things. And definitely
no, I don't think he's stupid. I think he does it on purpose. He's manipulative.
Like he's a gaslighter?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think that he's a gaslighter. I think that he, it's a repetitive type of behavior. I don't think he's ignorant. I think he's very cognizant of what he's doing. And he always speaks with that same sort of calming tone. Like he's the one, I have my problems. Debbie has her problems. You have your problems. We all need to just get along and get together. And it's never his fault. Like he's the one that's never in, he's the one who's always in the right. Larissa's the one who's always in the wrong. Larissa is crazy too. Like I will say that, but
Colt pushes her.
Yeah. I think Colt pushes her. I don't know where Debbie falls in all of this.
Listen, speaking of Arrested Development, Debbie and Colt are mother boy personified.
Yeah, very mother boy.
Truly attached at the hip. They can't, I don't think they can exist without one another. I really don't. And it's just, oh my God, Debbie. Debbie's also, I don't feel bad for Debbie. Is that crazy to say? I really don't.
I don't know. I don't know. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah, but Colt's way of speaking like this and saying stuff, that's definitely existent. And it's definitely pushing her buttons.
Yeah. I didn't think I would root for Larissa, but I ended up rooting for Larissa, except for all of the stuff that we saw on social media. But given the show, I was definitely on her side. And it just felt, oh my gosh, it just brings me to that dinner that they had with those random people who are theoretically Colt's friends.
The recruits.
Yeah, the recruits. The recruits who were found on the street who were given a free dinner who had to deal with Colt and Larissa. I felt so bad. And you could see that's when it started to break down for Colt, when he starts getting angry and he starts just saying, well, maybe you're the batshit crazy one or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh God, it was really uncomfortable. There were definitely parts where it was fun, much like Lita and Eric, there were parts that were just not fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like just the minute Larissa started saying so do all American guys not give compliments to their women, that's when I was like, if I was in that car, I would just open the door and roll out. I am not a part of your conversation.
Colt is the right shape.
Colt is every shape.
I know, he's amazing. He's very interestingly shaped as a human being. It's not just that he has extra body fat, it's the way that it's positioned on his body that makes him very interestingly shaped. But
And the fact that he walks on his tippy toes.
He walks on his tippy toes, which is very odd. Yeah, but that scene in the car, he says, what are you trying to tell me, baby doll? Or something like that. The way he says it, just...
What are you saying, baby cakes? Whatever. Yeah,
what it was. We should probably look that up.
No, well, baby doll, baby cakes is one of them. It's not baby back ribs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then John, is it Colt's cousin? The guy in the friendly shirt? Friendly's AC and repair.
If you're ever in Vegas, visit Friendly's for your AC repair. Especially, ironically enough, when your cousin has a car with no AC and somehow you're not hooking him up.
Yeah. Okay, that was the thing. I felt so terrible for Larissa on her wedding day when she got into the limo and she was so excited that it had AC. And she was by herself. I actually did feel really bad for Larissa in that moment.
That was kind of sad. Yeah.
And then I felt bad for Colt's pants at the wedding as well.
Colt's pants gave up before he walked up the aisle. They were just suffocated.
I heard a joke somewhere that he borrowed Debbie's suit. That's why they didn't fit.
This was the most casual dressed wedding ever.
Well, yeah, because John, the cousin, showed up in his Friendly shirt.
I feel like at what point do you turn to your cousin and say, man, stop trying to advertise. You're going to be in the photos for my wedding. Like, can you slap on a shirt?
Remember, did you notice this? So obviously at their wedding, there were a million empty seats and only a handful of people. But in one of the sides, there was kind of these random people that we had never seen before that weren't interacting with the family. And I think they were also recruits similar to Colt's quote unquote friends that we saw at the dinner.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like there could have been like one of those sign flipping guys in the front that said, come in, free drink at bar for like attendance.
Oh, Cole, no, like, Cole wouldn't have paid for that. That's too expensive.
Paid bar, but comfortable seats. Because there was this one suspect guy there with like a free AC in Vegas. And all the people like Larissa minded were like, oh my God, AC?
There's AC. Yes. Okay, someone who has been to Vegas a couple times, there's AC literally everywhere. I felt, it's bad.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for a second. Just this one damn car, for some reason, doesn't have AC, which is baffling to me.
Yeah.
And I just loved everything leading up to the wedding. Because before John shows up at this wedding, they had that awkward-ass barbecue. And the best line of the show, probably the most iconic, who is against the queen will die.
That's such a good quote. She speaks such like she's in a soap opera also.
Yeah, it was very telenovela. It was so good.
My personal favorite quote was also from that same interaction, but it was from Debbie. And Debbie was like, I'm done.
I'm done. That was great when she finally flips out and does the hand thing when she says, I'm done.
It was so good.
Oh, she went Super Saiyan. I didn't know she had it in her. But Debbie definitely, like, back talks and is sneaky. Because we've seen her call Larissa a bitch in confessional. But then remember that when they went wedding dress shopping and she found a dress she liked. And Debbie was like, well, I guess if you really want this dress, we can just prevent, like, you know, Colt will not pay for the green card and then you can get the dress. Like, what kind of a effed up comment is that to say to someone?
Yeah, well, I guess we know where Colt gets it from, right?
Oh, definitely. That's why they're here for Mother Boy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. All right. I don't think I have anything else from the show, but I think we have a lot of social media stuff, or at least I know I do, to talk about. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my God, Colt's pants. Sorry, I just have like Colt's wedding pants in all caps because that poor suit. Oh my God. No, when didn't Debbie walk Colt down the aisle?
Yeah.
Did I make that up in my brain? I'm pretty sure that happened. And then Larissa had to walk herself, which again, traditions change. That's fine. But it was very much the mother boy. Yeah. And he tiptoed down the aisle.
Yeah. Also, just a fun fact before we go into the social media, they were supposed to have the cats involved in the wedding somehow, but then it got too complicated and they scrapped it.
Okay.
So we missed cookie dough at the wedding.
That's so sad. I definitely would have been here for that. That's too bad.
Same.
All right. So let's talk about Colt and Larissa on social media, because this is stuff that we never really got to see on the show, apart from the one arrest that she had. But apparently Colt has been cheating on her, messaging a ton of women online.
Oh my God.
And all of these messages came out, and Larissa was posting all about them on social media. And like, I think that was maybe when one of the arrests happened. But I think she's at three arrests now, right?
Yeah, I think as of like what, last week, she hit three.
Yeah, she's at three. Yeah. And it's been because of Colt's continued disrespect of her, messaging other women. But the final one is just, it's just too funny to me. So Colt spent $90 on porn, which, no wonder, that's where all the money is going to. It's to his porn habit, because apparently he's not going to be able to afford a car with an AC, but he can afford $90 worth of porn, which apparently it was $90 on the same videos, because he bought the original for $30, and then he bought the second one, which was the same video but uncut, for $60.
What the? Yeah. What is the director's cut? Like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. You get all the extra footage that had to be cut in the original version.
Like, in the day and age we live in, and porn is just everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
Movies are like $5 to $10 in a bucket at Walmart. But porn is $60. Like, what is on this porn?
I didn't know where you were going with the bucket. I was like, when are movies in a bucket?
I meant to say the bargain bin, but okay, I was like,
I got there. We got there.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's sort of part of the reason that was under the scenes that we didn't get to see on the show as to why. I don't know. They didn't really explain the first arrest, and I don't know if all this cheating stuff came out in the first arrest or was later. But it's like they're messy.
Yeah, no, there's just a lot. Like, a lot came out from this couple specifically during this season, and in various different points, like you've mentioned, all the way to, like, I think 2 days ago we were getting new updates on them. Like, it's just nonstop. Which, like, if I may, we did get a question about specifically the social media stuff from Christina, who said, do you think the extensive use of social media by the cast while the show was airing completely changes it? Because she mentioned about how the last few days were dark, what with us finding out the Larissa getting arrested again, Ashley being found unresponsive with the kidney failure. Like, so her suggestion was, do we think that they should be restricted from using social media when the show is airing?
I'm actually surprised that they don't have to sign an NDA.
I agree.
Because look, you can choose to ignore the social media stuff, which is fine, but just so much of it comes out, and it doesn't make sense to me why they don't have to sign an NDA.
Yeah, no, I think it's absolutely crazy, because the thing is, they should have the foresight to realize, okay, because, like, some of the reading I've done on how the pay structure is for 90 Day Fiancé, so obviously, because the foreign spouse is not most of the time aren't allowed to work while they're there, they don't get paid to be on the show. The American counterpart gets paid the full amount. So, and it's not even that much. I think it's $1,000 per episode, and then like $2,500 for the tell-all. I think it's something along those lines. So obviously they're going to use this momentum to try and make as much money and, like, get as much out there as possible, right? That's why we see all this cameo stuff. That's why Lita's trying to get endorsements through Instagram. So getting an NDA sign would be so much better, because then the full extent of it is really the most nuggets of information that'll come out is, oh, someone searched the database and there's no marriage certificate or something along those lines, or there's a divorce certificate kind of thing.
If they had to sign an NDA, would that also stop all of the frickin' GoFundMes? Because Jay has a GoFundMe. Olga and Steven have a GoFundMe. Larissa has a GoFundMe.
Yeah, it's nonstop. Like, they'll put a GoFundMe up for anything.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so let's see. So so we do know that Colt and Larissa did file for divorce.
As of 3-4 days
ago. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
They're going to get divorced, potentially. I don't know. We don't know with these crazy kids. And I'm not entirely sure how divorce. So, I come in with the expertise as someone who has been divorced. You're welcome. So the way it works in Louisiana, which is where we filed for divorce, essentially you had to file for separation first, and then you had to wait to file for divorce later once you had lived apart for a certain amount of time. So I don't know for them if that's the way it works in Nevada, because I know some places you can just file and then, like, that's that.
Immediately. Yeah.
So I don't know, or if they need, like, a judge court ruling or anything like that.
It's interesting, because I did read about, because people were asking if Jonathan and Fernanda got divorced, and someone mentioned that in North Carolina, they have to be living separately for a year before they file, something like that.
So, yeah, so that's why they filed for separation. It was a similar thing.
Yeah. So state to state, I guess.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. The only other thing I have is Colt also has a dick pic.
But why don't bring attention to it?
No, this one is I'm not gonna size shame him, because I don't believe in that. you know, you can work with anything.
Can I describe it? Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sadly.
Okay.
To put it in Larissa words, it's not Biggie.
No, but it doesn't. No, this is too much. We're not going to talk about this. It's out there if you're interested.
But you're probably not going to be.
You shouldn't be. It's just, it's not a flattering picture.
No.
If you're going to send a selfie to someone, put a little effort into it. I'm just saying. And this is apparently the picture that Colty was sending all of the women that he was messaging while he was cheating.
This was the template?
Well, this was that's how the picture got out, was because it was one of the women that Colt was messaging, and then that's how it came out.
Oh my god. See, this is the stuff that makes me think he's really stupid.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. He's an idiot. I mean, I think he's an attention whore. I don't think he really I don't know what he expected that it would get out. But Kalani actually said something funny to him on social media. She said, "Oh, Colt, sending," and she put quotes around dick pics and videos to women who aren't your wife isn't an occupation, silly. Maybe you're just perturbed that my clitoris is bigger than your dick. Guess we're even, though, because you got me beat in the titty department. Oh, man.
Oh, my. How do you come back from that? Also, Kalani just became my MVP. Like, I didn't think she had that in her. That was a good clapback.
I know. Somehow, I feel like a terrible person for enjoying all of this stuff.
This is the thing that I feel like I had to come to terms with, was they truly are dumpster fire people. And I shouldn't feel bad because I'm just roasting.
Yeah.
I feel like just based on what they're putting out there, like I'm just part of the viewing experience for me now. It's like 90 Day Fiancé is one of those shows that truly is an interactive experience because of all the other stuff that's going down on social media.
It does feel like an interactive experience. It's especially with this season, it started really getting to Big Brother territory with all of the stuff on social media, which again, I do think that they should cut down on. I don't need another Big Brother in my life as much as I love the show, but
it's a lot. I feel like an NDA might not solve all the problems, but it'll be a good start.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say before about Colt and Larissa? Otherwise, let's get into some of the questions that we have.
Yeah, no, I think that about sums it up until we start talking a little bit about the tell-all. But yeah, we do have a couple questions. So let's start with a fun one, Liana. Are you down with a fun question?
Let's talk about the tell-all instead, because I'm nervous about these fun questions.
Don't be. This is a harmless question.
All right.
So Liana, Alex asks, Ding, Mary, Kill, Eric, Oswelu, and Colty.
No.
You can't know. You have to answer.
Okay, I would marry Oswelu, because then when he didn't use a condom and we got pregnant, at least we'd be married.
Okay.
Eric and Colty?
I know. Can you double kill?
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay, well, what would you say?
Okay, I think I would marry Oswelu because, you know, we could totally have a sexless marriage if I don't want to have kids.
Yeah, but he has sexy moves.
I know he has sexy moves, but I feel like I could maybe resist. I don't know. He does, like, he is sweet.
Would your boob
hurt? I don't know. Definitely. Definitely. But I feel like at least then, like you said, we're married, so that's kind of cool. Ding. And then kill. Okay. So I'm killing Colty. Yeah. I guess I'm dinging Eric because nice. I'm sorry, but the awkward Colty and his voice and his, like, you know, boobies. No, I'm out on Colty. I'll ding Eric, the homeless man.
Oh my god. I
had no choice. I was stuck in a corner.
Yeah, between a rock and a hard place, really. I guess I cussed on your answer, but I just... Bleh. All right, let's move on. Bleh. Next question.
next question.
So, thank you. Next.
Thank you. Next. Okay, so Austin off of Twitter asked, which couple would you want to see on The Amazing Race?
I don't know. Colty and Larissa just left a really bad taste in my mouth after this tell-all, but I will say they did bring the drama to the tell-all.
Yeah.
I would stab myself if it was Eric and Lita, so not them.
No, never.
Oswelu and Kalani would actually be really fun.
Honestly, that would be my choice, because I feel like we've seen them driving. We've seen them driving where she's in the front and he's navigating. and she's got Cheeto's fingers and she's panicking. And then he's like getting really angry. But once they're on the mat, well, like they get to the welcome mat in front of Phil Kogan, Oswelly does his dance for everyone. Like that's just, I can picture that vividly.
Yeah.
So I'm here for all of that. Okay. And then a couple I'm not here for being there, definitely Eric and Lita, just because that would just be a conundrum Ugh. That no one should be there for. There's a second part to this question. If you could mix and match any couples, who would they be? So let's say you could have a potpourri and you get to pick the two people.
Oh, Oswelu and Olga.
Team down. Nice people.
Yes. They would definitely be the two people that I would put together.
Okay, can I make the worst team?
Okay.
Okay, so I would pick Lita,
yeah.
And then I would pick, technically he was on the season, even if it was a live show, I will pick Jesse and put Jesse and Lita together for what could be the worst
From
thing ever.
Before the 90 days.
Just yeah, yeah.
He's on a tour of the United States giving motivational speeches, by the way,
oh,
which
my
I highly
God.
Doubt anyone is paying for motivational speeches. I didn't realize that standing on a soapbox in the middle of Times Square counts as a motivational speech, but go for it. I had to pick one, I'd pick Colty with Lita for the most.
Yeah,
people.
That would equally be horrible. Yeah. I would not be here for that either. Okay. So then we got another question. It's a would you rather.
Would you rather.
These are, by the way, I picked the questions that are most ridiculous. So this is fun times here. So would you rather have Eric as a fodder or fodder if you're Jesse or live with Colty and Larissa? So would you have Eric as a father figure or your roommates with Colty and Larissa a la Debbie?
Okay. So do I move in with Colt and Larissa now? But I've had Eric as a father my whole life.
No, it's kind of like you're getting to an exit and you got to pick. If you go to the left, you're one way ticket to Baraboo, Wisconsin, where Eric's going to adopt you and he's your father now.
Okay.
And you're going to be living with
but
him.
But like me now, as an independent person, I would pick Eric because I can financially support myself and I don't, you know, I love my dad to death and he raised me well, but like I don't need his financial support anymore. That's what I'm saying is like if it's now or did I have to grow up with Eric as a dad? Because
no, you grow up with him as a dad. I think that's the better way.
I guess
better scenario.
Apart from the addiction problems, I guess he seemed okay until Lita showed up. Okay, wait, if I live with Colt and Larissa, do I get to live with the cats and Debbie as well?
Yeah, let's say you don't take Debbie's place, like you get to hang out with Debbie and the kitties.
All right, I'd be there. I pick that one.
Okay, I honestly think I would pick that too, because if nothing, I'm gonna have a live 90 day fiance in my house every day.
Yeah,
can't really go back. I guess like with the stuff that's been going on now with all the fighting
all the
and like, blood, like that's too much. Like maybe I don't want that, but I can take a walk around the block 11 p.m. hit McDonald's up and hang out with Jay, so it kind of works out.
I'd live with Debbie and eat her unseasoned stew.
Oh my god, she was so offended when she didn't eat the stew.
It's Las
I guess
Vegas
I'll put it
she
in
just
container.
Drove in a car that didn't have AC. What do you want to eat?
In heat.
Beef stew.
Of all the foods,
yeah.
Come on, Debbie.
I didn't feel bad for Debbie.
Come on,
I'm done. Yeah, Debbie's done.
The stew's done.
Done. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. So I thought this would be fun to do. I pulled up some superlatives off of Reddit that someone had posted for the end of the season.
Okay.
So let's do like two or three of them, and then jump into the tell-all, and then we at the end we can kind of jump back and do a couple more. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, most likely to stay married at this point.
Oh, Kalani and Oswelu.
Yeah, I think without a doubt that's the easiest one, given how everyone else is falling apart here and there. And then, worst person to be stranded on a desert island.
Lita.
With. Lita? I pick Colty.
Yeah, but Colty would, I guess he would slowly wear you down psychologically. I feel like Lita would just bash me. And you're not, the coconut's not proper.
It's not and proper. Puts it in proper.
She has a Cockney accent all of a sudden, but.
Yeah. And then most unforgettable.
Person on the season?
Yeah, like let's say we get to 90 Day Fiance season 9. Who are we going to completely forget was on this show in season 6?
Yeah, so I would probably remember Oswelu, but just because I liked him so much. But probably Colt and Larissa, I would have to say, is a couple stand out to me the most.
like they would be the most unforgettable.
Unforgettable, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Probably most unforgettable. And then if we were going to go with forgettable, I honestly think it would be Jay and Ashley.
Yeah, it could be Jay and Ashley, Jonathan and Fernanda as well. I felt like.
Yeah, take a pick.
Indiana.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's dive into some of this tell-all stuff, because this was insane. The fact that it was two parts, 3 hours total, just, my God, let's dig into it.
I don't know. I feel like I talked about most of the tell-all stuff that I really wanted to talk about. A few other things that I had were the fact that Colty seemed to have gone evil in the car on the way there. It's like, apparently, Jonathan and Larissa, or Jonathan and Fernanda have a beef with us. We'll be sure to settle that tonight or something. But he said in his Colty voice, and he was wearing all black, yeah, and he had a weird bad goatee.
Mm-hmm. It did look like the scene from Community where they face their evil counterparts and they're just them in darker clothing.
That's exactly how it was.
Yeah. So, yeah, I loved that. I was here for that. I was here for, like you mentioned earlier, the Olga in the TV next to Steven. The Steven Osuelu thing was interesting. Right after Steven is talking about him and Olga, and Osuelu laughs, and he says, why does she have to say thank you to you for things you've done? She's your fiance.
It's called, like, respect.
Oh my God, the respect police was back out in force. And then there was some uncomfortable stuff. Like, we did get a couple people saying that they were here for everyone mocking Larissa, but I was kind of like, I wasn't a fan of the mob mentality. I feel like everyone was kind of like, ooh, we can just get behind this movement and be ignored. Like, I think Lita got off scot-free because of this.
That, I think, was the biggest thing to me. It was like, why are you ganging up on Larissa? You should be ganging up on Lita. Lita's the terrible one here. But also, I think this idea that, oh, Larissa's this gold digger, when Fernanda got a car, a place to live, her school was paid for by Jonathan, she got boobies. Mm-hmm. And what did Larissa get? A dress from Goodwill for her wedding. So I didn't really understand that. But then Larissa started yelling back at them. I was like, well, maybe it is deserved. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, when Larissa and Colty showed up, it did not help the tension at all, because she just went off on them.
Well, and like, she had anything, her whole thing with the dress. I mean, I get it, she lost her baggage, but at the same time, like, my enemies, like, I don't want my enemies to look better than me.
Yeah, like, she made it a thing, like it was a feud too. Like, I genuinely cannot tell you whether if she had come in civil, they would have been civil. There was no way. They were already so pissed off, and they had found a reason to hate them more, that they came late and they had to wait for them, which honestly, as much as we hate them, it wasn't their fault. Flights got delayed. Like, it wasn't on them. It's not like they disappeared. And honestly, I think the producers did a bit of putting fuel to the fire by making it seem like, oh, we can't get a track of them, like it's all on them, to, like, you know, get everyone riled up more against them.
Yeah, like when it was just that their flight was late.
I
did actually really like Kalani in the tell-all, because it's, you know, she wasn't really participating so much in all the drama. She was just trying to take care of her kid. I appreciated her in the tell-all.
I loved it. And when, you know, she just breastfed her son live on air, no F's given, that was amazing. Like, that, I'm glad she just did it, and I'm glad that they showed it to us. I'm glad it just went fine. Kalani, I think, had the biggest transformation for me from during the season all the way to the end, with social media and tell all included, because I did not like her to start. I really didn't. I really felt like her and her entire family were like, well, I don't know about Osuelu. Like, I don't know if I'm going to marry him. Like, I don't think he cares. But then by the end, she loves him. She really does love him, and I love that family, and I really hope they make it the distance and do well.
Yeah, same.
So she had the best transformation. So that's how I feel about that.
Yes. Okay. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about the tell-all? And then if we have any more questions, I think we can start to wrap this up.
Yeah, sure. So there is one thing I want to talk about before we wrap up, which Nick Fishman also asked about. The Skype calls at the end of the part two tell-all. The weird kids react to teens react to nonsense we got. Yeah. What was your thought on that?
Oh my God. Okay. So the tell-all, first of all, was already separated into two different parts, but you know, I started to get it. It was like, oh, because there's a lot of off-camera stuff that's happening that they clearly wanted to include in the tell-all. But then we get to about 30 minutes left of the tell-all. It's like, I think they're done. What are they going to do? And obviously the editors had a very similar feeling, like, crap, we don't have enough footage. So let's show our cast members clips of them watching clips
of the tell-all,
because that's how that works. And then we're going to do a terrible job editing, forgetting to edit out some of the curse words at the end, because F it at this point. Who cares?
Yeah, who gives? Like,
that was terrible.
There were at least four F-bombs. And yeah, the content was awful. As someone who enjoys watching like reactionary stuff, watching people get reactions, this just made no sense. And clearly, based on the questions they were asking them after showing them the clips, they were being pointed into a direction of starting fights, which is, to me, probably the biggest turnoff of the entire tell-off for me. Because I liked the watch them go backstage and all sit there in the green room and discuss stuff. That stuff was good until they started like ganging up on Larissa. But then getting this at the end, it just made no sense. It was added there for nothing.
Yeah, it's because they ran out of stuff. I really believe. The only thing I think good that came out of it was Steven realizing that he should apologize. That was probably the only good thing that came out of it. Otherwise, yeah, it definitely felt like they were egging them on. Okay, hey, but like, do you see what they said? Don't you hate them? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they closed with the text on the screen describing the current state of the relationships. It was like, oh, and Fernanda and Jonathan are separated. Oh, and Larissa got arrested again. Like, could we not have spent the last 30 minutes talking about that instead of these clips? But I don't know. I guess
right. That's pretty astounding, because they could have easily used that time to, pull up stuff from the social media that's been going on. Like, they have, there's no NDA involved. This is content from their own people. They can easily use it. But they went with this route. It was horrible. I really hope we don't see it again. Personally, it did nothing for me. Ultimately, it did leave us with a couple like loose ends, right? It's like, oh, where are Jay and Ashley going to go? Which ultimately we have talked about it. We know where they are. They're like together still. She's recovering. And then we got the little bit of Jonathan and Fernando. We got a little bit of the Larissa and Colty. The one thing I wanted to talk about, is that it looks like there are rumors that Colty and Larissa have already recorded and they're going to be on the next season of Happily Ever After.
Well, I guess we'll see when that airs.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny considering that by then, like, they're not even together.
Well,
so.
I guess we know the answer to Happily Ever After.
Yeah, it's a big fat no from me, dog.
All right. Yeah. I think that's all I have for this season. I have one thing I wanted to talk about for the just random other people in the 90 day sphere. So if Rachel and John come back on Before the 90 Days, I just want to say they're trying for a baby is what she said on Instagram, but they still haven't saved for a visa. Okay, so priorities. I just needed to tell somebody, because I have literally no one in my sphere that would understand. They would know that those are words, but they wouldn't understand what it means.
Yeah, it's amazing how, like, you know, at least Osuelu got to the United States before trying for baby number two.
They weren't trying. I mean, theoretically, they were doing the pull-out method and then timing it with our ovulation cycles, but, you know, whatever.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Puya, do you have anything else that you want to talk about with regards to 90 Day Fiancé?
No, this was a lot of fun. I definitely enjoyed myself. This season was great to watch. You know, I feel like we're all fans of trash TV. This is truly the dumpster trash TV.
This season, though, in particular, was really like dumpstery.
Yeah, this might have been the worst cast ever. You know, you talked at the start of the show about season three having everyone still be together. This might be the one where no one's together by the end of it besides one couple. So
only time will tell, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. So, Puya, what are you up to?
Well, Celebrity Big Brother season is officially upon us. We just got the cast release a couple days ago. So I will be back to do some live morning updates for everyone. So I'll be there on my Fridays. Hopefully we'll see. And You can follow me. Yeah. So you guys can follow me on at Pooyaism on any platform.
And
Pooyaism. Sorry.
Thank you for thank you for joining me, Pooya. And I don't know, I guess providing maybe some insight as to what it might be to be the beneficiary. Like, please don't have a bad thought of the United States because of these people.
No, if anything, I feel like I'm in more intrigued, as crazy as that might sound.
All right.
Sounds like fun.
You'll have to go on Craigslist to find yourself an American girl, and then you can file a K-1.
I was about to say, is there an American Cupid? Then I realized that's probably just Cupid.
Yeah, just not Colombian Cupid.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find me on social media. I'm at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. And I just recorded the sort of overview of Survivor 2018 podcast with Shannon Gates and Mike Bloom. We looked back at the 5 franchise seasons of Survivor that aired in 2018. It was so much fun. So much fun. So if you're a Survivor fan, check it out. There are spoilers to some of the international seasons, but if you're interested in watching some of those, get in Shannon Gates's DMs.
Because that's what I've heard, is go to Shannon Gates'
that's
DMs.
That's the hookup.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm recording the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. We just talked about episode 5, I think.
Yes.
I don't know. It all blurs together. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 4. Which, it's not too late to hop on. Drag Race is a really great show. If you like fun, colorful TV, definitely be sure to check it out. All right. So that's all we have for you today. It's about to get a lot more stupider.
A lot more stupider. Well done, Liana. Oh, it's the joke. I get it. I'm proud of you.
All right. Get out of here. We'll see you next time.